Welcome back to this masterclass on building your limitless mind. If you're following in the book, we're now in chapter 4, Stopping Limited Thinking. And if there was one thing that you got from this book, this might be the most important topic. Even if you can't drive limitless thinking, if you can just stop some of that limited thinking, if you can just escape the sewer of human thinking, you can only get yourself beyond some of those things that hold you back, automatically, you're becoming more limitless. Here's the quote at the start of the book. Only thing to stop me is me. Jay-Z. Have you ever seen the beginning of a Formula One race? All the cars lined up on the grid in order of their quality. Engines revving, energy is electric. Like wild horses at the starting gates, they're set to prance. The skilled pilot sits behind the wheel. At his feet are two pedals. The pedal operated by his right foot for accelerating. His left foot operates the brake. With those two pedals, he controls all the power inside his machine. With one foot, he's holding back. With the other, moving forward. The same is true with your mind. You have two opposing ways of thinking. You have the thoughts holding you back and those driving you forward. During the course of any day, these two types of thinking are conflicting in your mind. While it's true that limitless thinking is generally a good way of thinking, it's not always the case that limited thinking is bad. Just like the brake on a car is good when it enables the car to slow down, so too are some of the thoughts that hold you back. Like the fear of a bear that keeps you safe on the trails, these thoughts can serve you. But that's not the type of limited thinking we're covering. Here we're discussing the types of limited thinking that only serve in limiting you in achieving your goals. So many of us are bound by limited thinking. There are two philosophies in personal development. One sees you as an unfinished product. Like a house needing a good renovation, you develop by improving on you. The other philosophy holds that you're born as a perfect house. Everything you can possibly become is already inside of you. But then, over time, just as a house gets damaged, you develop limits. Those of you with kids see this evolution. Think about your kids at age 4. Who are they? How freely do they live? How much do they dream? How unaffected by the world are they? But then over the years, that changes, doesn't it? At some point, your kids become self-conscious. They worry, what do others think? Do I fit in? They begin doubting themselves, dreaming less. Like the Black Death of solid tar, realistic thinking settles in. This progression continues for most of our early lives. In fact, research estimates your self-esteem peaks at age 9, declines through your teens, bottoms out around age 19, and it doesn't again reach your childlike high until your early 60s. Woohoo! Go the human race! A race to the bottom. Really, I want to just emphasize this point. This is our research. That literally we feel the best about ourselves at age 9 and then in our 60s. At age 19, which is supposed to be the peak of our lives, we feel the worst about ourselves. And it's not us. This is our society. This is what it does to us. But again, as I said earlier, we get to choose. We can accept these limited, crappy paradigms that our society forces on us. You can go out every night drinking yourself stupid and justifying it, that this is what other people do. Tune into the news, murder for entertainment, watching TV, talking about the latest Walking Dead. Or you can choose to wake up. You can choose to see what our society has done to us. and take back control of your thinking. Even though it can seem that this is so deep in us, these 70,000 or so mostly negative redundant thoughts every day. In fact, if you can just hone in on the small number of things that make an enormous difference, you can far more easily remove this negative sewer-like thinking from your mind. You can cut yourself free. While it might not seem easy to remove your limited thinking, really, it is just a matter of changing a small number of thoughts. It's like the story in Gulliver's Travels where Gulliver finds himself as a giant on the island of Lilliput, which is inhabited by tiny people. Upon awakening, Gulliver discovers that the tiny people have tied him to the ground with many tiny strings. Although he could easily break any one of the strings, he remains trapped by the great number of tiny strings binding him. The same is true with your thinking. Although it may seem that you've been limited by powerful thoughts, you'll see upon closer examination that they are merely an aggregation of puny thoughts. All these small thoughts holding you back. But by choosing bigger, better thoughts, you can easily break free. Three examples that we're going to be getting to in a little bit convey this same point. ADHD, depression, anxiety. See, our backwards world of psychology reinforces these problems because they define them in these big things. You're depressed. What does that even mean? We take this thing, which is thinking, and label it depressed. It's all depressed. Really, all of it? I've never met a depressed person who is depressed about everything. And you can usually find a way to bust that quite easily. Are you depressed when you're having sex? What about right in the moment of your orgasm? Are you depressed then? See, what you find with all of these patterns, anxiety, you're anxious about everything. How anxious might you be to see your anxiety's already gone? Take this one, lack of confidence. I just lack confidence at everything. Well, how are you confident that you lack confidence if you lack confidence? You see that all these things can be cut down to size by just finding a way to do it. Do you lack focus at everything? See, one of the jokes about the ADHD epidemic is, how many kids have ADHD playing video games? Do they really suffer ADHD? Do they really have this big ball of mess called a lack of focus? Or do they have trouble focusing on things that are boring and useless, like most of what happens in school? See, in our society, we turn them into these big things, which makes them impossible to solve. But as soon as you start unwinding the balls of string, you begin to cut yourself more free.